Good morning, church. Can you hear me?
It's good.
Good. The Lord put it on my heart to speak to you today about prayer. And it's something that I've been thinking about quite often. And it's the reason I've been thinking about it so much is that I started to read Roger Forster's book on prayer. And generally speaking, I do not see myself as a passionate person, but when it comes to prayer, I think that could be the exception. When our dear brother and sister, Roger and Faye Forster, remind us of the importance of prayer, there was a renewed enthusiasm to pray individually and corporately to grow our prayer life. And whilst our personal prayer may be increasing, I sense that the corporate prayer still needs to be developed. A way we can grow our prayer life is to study the nature of prayer. For this purpose, I'm going to refer you to Roger Forster's book simply entitled Prayer, brackets, Living in the Breath of God. If you have not read it yet, and I understand many of you have, but if you haven't read it yet, I strongly recommend it to you. I'm going to use one direct quote from the book, which I hope Roger will forgive me for. And it's right at the beginning, and it's a beautiful line. There is nothing more human than prayer. When we look into the heart of God, we find that his purpose for humankind before the world began was that we should have communion with each other and with him. And I think what Roger is trying to say there is that prayer is the very essence of our existence. Because if we do not share our life with someone, it is dead. Either a partner or a friend or colleague. Life would be very difficult if we did not communicate with each other simply to make our living and to share and support each other. When we retreat into ourselves, we diminish our lives and that of others. When we communicate, we can share our fears, anxieties and sorrows, but we can also share our joy, our peace. And our love. This is a two-way process, so listening is a vital part of communication. In my opinion, it's the most important part. So we bless ourselves and others through spoken and written language. In some way, communion with God grows us as human beings and pleases and glorifies him. What prayer is not is sharing our woes with God and expecting him to provide the things we want, without listening and cooperating with him to get the things we need. Have you ever thought how God communicates with us? Occasionally he gives us written communication directly, e.g. the Ten Commandments, and at other times he gives us signs and miracles. Generally though, he places thoughts in our minds through the Holy Spirit. When some men have prayed what God has said to them, it is so significant that it has been written down to comprise the Holy Bible. So our guide or instruction manual was born out of prayer. To study the Bible is prayerful too. St. Paul talked of praying without ceasing. He did not mean literally without stopping. But as well as setting aside time specifically to pray, we should also be talking to God throughout the day, treating him as our confidant and friend, praising and glorifying him. And I'll just read you a line from 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Prayer Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. Our best example, of course, is Jesus himself. And in Luke 11:1, it says, "One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray,' just as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, 'When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. For we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" And that's a wonderful prayer that we cherish, we value. And very soon we will be celebrating that in a service. So at this stage, I don't want to go too deeply into the Lord's Prayer, but I will return to it later. God then talks to us. We need to talk to him because he has created us in his image. We can do this as individuals, but corporate prayer is also important. Through that, we can encourage each other because we are all part of the body of Christ Church. As we go deeper into communion with God, we become more like him through imitation. As God is holy, so we become more holy. Nevertheless, God is our Creator and Heavenly King. He has work for us to do on earth in order to fulfill his purpose of restoring mankind back to him. He takes delight in our obedience to serve him. He wants us to serve him through cooperation. This reinforces his love for us and ours for him. We can make God angry at times, but his love for us is one. That will not let us go. He seeks us out and wants to restore us to him. If we are humble and repentant, if we continue to talk to him in prayer, he will listen. We are all exhorted to keep praying. Sometimes there are blockages to prayer, however. If we have strayed into sin, if we have stopped talking to him, if we've become too much of the world, then he may ignore our prayers and decide not to bless them. For those of us who have erred, it is still essential to pray, but now the prayers must be for ourselves and to return to God. For the individual, that is tragic, but it can impact on corporate prayer as well by making it less effective. What I'm trying to convey is that when we come to prayer, we need to examine ourselves in the same way that we do when we prepare to take communion. So as we prepare to pray, we must spend time hallowing God's holy name. We should soak in the Holy Spirit and come closer to God. And by that, I don't mean briefly, for a minute or two before we start praying. We're so eager to ask him for things that sometimes we forget how important preparation to prayer is. Because we need to draw close to him, not only to communicate, but to have communion with him. To summarize then, we must pray because it is what God desires. We must not only communicate with him, but go deeper and have communion with him. This involves getting even closer to God, so that as we draw near to him, the Holy Spirit radiates from him and enters us. It means that there is no division between us and him, and we have access to the Godhead of three. God so desires this that he seeks us out relentlessly. My father-in-law, Peter, used to say that he was brought into God's love at an early age. And it was a love which would not let him go. Indeed, his favourite hymn was that entitled, "The Love That Will Not Let Me Go." A few years later, it brought him into his life's ministry for God. Roger reminds us of the wonderful scene at the Last Supper before Jesus would share with his disciples before he ascended into heaven. The disciples witnessed and were drawn into Christ's communion with his Father, so that they knew the heart of God and shared the same prayer life as a result. Prayer means a relationship with God. Sincere relationships last and grow. With that growth, there is a requirement to nurture and change that relationship. Jesus talks of pruning the vine in order to produce lasting fruit. And Roger points out that this fruit is really our prayer and God's answers to it. Answered prayer blesses us but also glorifies God. We are told to pray by our Lord. And I'll read you from Luke 18, verses 1 to 8. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones, who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?'" We should persevere because God will always answer our prayers, but not necessarily in a way or time when we might expect. Thus, we must always pray with a thankful heart. If we have an unthankful heart, he will make us ungodly. And at this point, I'd like to say a few words which some of you might find difficult. But, of course, we will sometimes pray to God, and he appears not to answer our prayers. He allows things to happen that we are praying against. But the important thing to say about that is that you cannot pray against God's purpose, God's will. I know it's sometimes difficult to understand what that will is, because we're personally hurting because we've lost someone, or we're really suffering, we still have to keep praying with thanks for all things, at all times. When we are distressed and anxious, he sees us like lost sheep. If we pray to God, he will, in compassion, help us, seek us out, and return us to his fold. Jesus wants to hear our prayers for ourselves as well as others. Nevertheless, that prayer should be with right motives and from the love of him and others. prayers with love and caring and not self-interest will receive God's blessing. And you'll have to forgive me, I will now read directly from Roger's book, because it's about when we pray against confrontation, when we pray against Satan and the works of evil. And I'll just read it to you now. Finally, we must pray because praying is the way of doing battle, of confrontation, of driving the enemy out. There is an element of praying that is aggressive and warlike. Tell us that if there are mountains in our way, it is time that we commanded them to go and throw themselves into the sea. And Jesus then says, truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. Jesus goes on to say, all things for which we pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted you. Looking at a mountain and telling it to jump into the sea is prayer. If you face your problem, declare it out of the way, believing that it will go. That is praying, even though you are not directly addressing God. You are speaking towards the mountain, but you are actually talking to God or talking before him in his presence. Some people make a great deal of fuss about this. They say you shouldn't talk really to difficulties. You shouldn't address the devil and demons. Nevertheless, casting out a demon is a type of praying. In the book of Jude, we see that Michael the archangel, when he disputed with the devil and argued about the body of Moses, did not dare pronounce against him a railing judgment, but said, the Lord rebuke you. And Roger then says, there is not much to choose between saying, Lord rebuke the devil, and saying, out devil in Jesus' name. There is no real difference. For both prayers call on the Lord and appeal to God in his power to deal with the demon. Calling upon God to exert his power on our behalf is the only way to confront some such situations. If you confront these situations without God, there is no hope. Confront them with God, and all things you ask in prayer, believing you will receive. And in Ephesians, we know it says, put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the holy places. And he finally says, we come into this realm and begin to attack only through prayer and speaking God's word. We know that the Father is listening as we declare Jesus' name to break the spiritual strongholds, and as we take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. How? Through prayer. The answer then to our chapter's question is that we must pray to be truly human, to know God, to obey him, to cooperate with him, to bring forth fruit, and to oppose evil. But I'd just like to end by saying that, and I refer you back to what I said at the beginning, that prayer is the very essence of our existence. Because if we do not share life with someone, it is dead. And our prayer to God is absolutely crucial. He's our Creator King. Everything that we are and have comes from him. Why wouldn't we want to pray to him? So the most important thing when we come to prayer is that we come to prayer because we want to. Amen. Can I just say that I'm going to talk further on prayer on the 16th of June, I believe it is. And I want to talk about the ways in which we can pray. And I'm really looking forward to that and working through it with you. Thank you.
Amen. Thanks, Kevin.
I'm sorry I got emotional, but I can't help it sometimes.
That's all right.